providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in time for the second half of KER Politics. Going to start out with Dr. John Huber. You know, John, the COVID-19 virus is a very serious virus, but there are a number of positive things societally that have happened as a result of that. Can you talk about that a little bit? Maybe let's start out with improvements in family life.
Absolutely. Well, I think it's probably one of the most important things. You know, families are reconnecting. Parents are learning how to get back in touch and communicate with their kids. Kids are learning how to communicate with adults. You know, this generation that's stuck at home now doing middle school, elementary school, and high school, they've only known a world full of screens and screen presence, and their friends are online. And they've lost a lot of social skills. Now the parents are home, the kids are home together, and they're having lunch together. They're getting up and having breakfast and having discussion before their classes start, before the parents go working online. And they're having dinner together because everybody's there. It's actually bringing a lot of families together. I mean, we can talk, like we've talked off the air, about how all these difficult things are going on. But the reality of it is, nothing worthwhile is easy. And so parents have had to kind of sharpen their communication skills and get back in touch with these kids, and they're benefiting from it. The families are benefiting from it. Even the infants are benefiting from it. We've got a significant drop in sudden infant death syndrome. And why? I think it's because parents have slowed down a little bit, and they're spending extra time with their kids, their infants, even more so than they normally would. They're much more connected with them. And I think the infants are responding very positively to it. And we've had that drop. I think that's really one of the most important things that is keeping those numbers low. And it's an awesome, positive, upbeat thing we need to be aware of.
You know, one comment I would have to make about COVID is that it is putting a certain amount of discipline into people's lives. The real problem with COVID, mortality is an issue, but I don't believe that the stats are in yet definitively to show that all of society is affected by that. I mean, people in a high-risk category, such as myself and my wife, certainly have to be very, very careful. And we are very careful, and that's putting a certain amount of self-discipline into our lives. In terms of what's going on with the school kids, I've heard a lot of negative things from various physicians who I talk with, from my acupuncturist, interestingly enough, who really question the validity of schools being closed right now, given the mortality rates of that particular demographic if they happen to get COVID. Johnny, what's your
opinion? I think they're right in a lot of ways, but right now, you know, the jury's still out. We don't have all the data in, and what we do get is so muddled with so many different biases, whether it's political or scientific, or this research institute is being funded by this drug company, so the data needs to look good for that, you know, antibiotic or that vaccine or whatever. And really, you know, I've had this discussion with my peers, the doctors of the hospital. We probably really won't know true definitively for about 3 years. And that's about how long it's going to take for the 200 countries that have been affected, well, actually, it's like, 180, 179 countries that have been affected by this significantly, for all their universities to get their researches done and have it go through peer-reviewed articles or journals and have the scientific community review things. And we're going to start seeing the same sorts of data being repeated all around the country, all around the world. And that's going to give us what's really going on. And it's going to take about 3 years for that to happen. You know, the research has already started, but I think we as a community, a world community, we're going to have to really struggle through with this, find out what works, do the best we can. You know, again, some of the positive things, you know, it's 99% of the population, it's not going to affect them as far as lethality is concerned. It's that less than 1% that we have to worry about it. And, you know, people over 55, the numbers start going up. Over 70, it's really significant. But below that, the younger populations, you know, they are reacting really well to this. And the positive thing I see is that, yeah, we may not have a good vaccine for it, but as the younger population gets more and more exposed to it and they survive it, they're creating kind of this herd immunity to this, and it will benefit our society and culture in time. Right now, we're struggling with it.
Well, what this whole thing boils down to, in my opinion, is purely and simply, rather than going into all of the research and rather going into the what if, ands and buts, etc., I think it's very simple. You have to use common sense. If you are in a high-risk category, I think you simply have to self-quarantine, and there's really no choice yes. about that. I think the positives, I don't want to say that the positives necessarily outweigh the negative, because there are people dying from this on a daily basis. But I want to say, I think it's important to concentrate for people in my demographic on common sense, as it is to concentrate on common sense regarding all things of the human life. I think at this point in time, we have to just be thankful that if you're under the age of 60, you're probably going to be okay. If your kids should go to school, if the businesses should stay closed, that's an entirely different issue. I personally believe that, right. yeah, for people who are self-quarantining, who need to self-quarantine, they need to stay out of that universe. And it's no more complicated than that, is it, John?
I think you're right, but I think there's other benefits to what we're learning right now. I think the behaviors of being diligent about washing your hands, instead of just dropping your hands out of the water and grabbing a paper towel and walking out, actually rubbing and using soap and things like that, I think we're going to see a decrease in the amount of common colds, the decrease in the flu. I think a lot of traditional diseases that we just kind of take for granted, which all of them, when you're debilitated, you know, you start having to deal with these on a lethal level, all of those diseases, whether it's the cold or the flu. And I think what we're learning and what society is dealing with now is going to make us a safer, healthier population in the long run. And so that's another positive thing that I think we're getting out of this.
Johnny, let me ask you this. I think another positive thing is self-reliance and common sense. How do you feel about mandated vaccinations? Once a vaccine is available, do you think people should be able to just simply just say, I'm making up my own mind? What's your opinion, Johnny?
I think, you know, I have privileges at two hospitals, which is medical hospitals, which is kind of unusual for a psychologist. And, you know, I go in and walk through the steps with people who are refusing medical treatment. And in our country, we've always had the ability as individuals to refuse certain medical treatment and to deal with the consequences as an individual. And sometimes these consequences are death for my patients. And I get asked by the administrative staff, the physicians, go in and talk to these people and make sure they fully understand the consequences of refusing treatment. And so many patients really do. You know, that they understand that the potential for side effects for different medications or going on this life support machine means that they're going to be in that hospital room, you know, for the rest of their lives, whether they live 2 weeks or 20 years longer than this. They're going to be stuck in that hospital room. And they choose not to live a life like that. And I think we should continue that. I mean, it is a choice as a human being whether I'm going to take an antibiotic or not. And that should be given to everybody, and forcing somebody to take that. You know, when we're talking about, for example, meningitis. Okay, meningitis, most colleges, most schools say, if you're going to come to our school, you have to the severity of the disease. I think Americans, you know, well, that's part of our freedom. Freedom's not free, and I believe we should have the choice to choose not to take the vaccine or to take it. And as young as that vaccine is, as new as it is, there's so much potential for harm. I'm choosing not to take it.
Hey, John, as you just said, it is a personal choice as long as you don't harm other people.